In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with my friend, Gail Summers. She's been saying some really wonderful things about what she has learned as the mother of young children. And today I want to ask you, Gail, we've been emphasizing what it means to be a Christian woman, a godly mother. We've been referring to Paul's letter to Titus and also to Timothy. Do your ideas of child training come solely from the scriptures and from your experience as a Christian, or do you think that there are any secular writers who have done any studies which would, in fact, corroborate rather than contradict the things that we've been saying?
I find this a very interesting thing that's going on right now, that principles that we have learned from Scripture and have assumed to be true about the relationship between mothers and children are now being, as you say, corroborated by those who have made the study of children their lifelong vocation. I'm thinking in particular of someone like Robert Coles, who is a child psychiatrist. He teaches at Harvard. He is probably the outstanding child psychiatrist in the country. He's often referred to as the Crayola man because he uses children's art in the therapy that he gives them. And I had the good fortune of hearing Robert Coles speak at Gordon College, a remarkable speaker, an amazing man, and one who, in his talk to the students, emphasized the importance of moral values over intellect and knowledge. And this was to a college crowd, and this was a man from Harvard talking about these things. He had us spellbound, really. I don't think I've ever heard a public speaker who was so effective without a single note, without any outline. A man who has spoken from years of experience working with children. And I received as a Christmas present a book that he has written called Harvard Diary, and he's written a number of essays on lots of different subjects, but I came across one on the women's movement. And I braced myself, really, to be honest. I braced myself. I thought, here's someone at Harvard University. It's going to come now. This is going to be it, the women's movement. And it's going to be all the things that I don't want to hear about the relationship between women and their children, or just the role of women in general. Well, I want you to know that after I read the essay, I was absolutely flabbergasted. I really do think that that was the moment which I became radicalized. And that was the moment I said to my husband, never again will I sit in a room and listen to a woman talk about putting her child in daycare and remain silent, because now I have Robert Coles on my side. What he said in this essay was, what has happened to us? What has happened to us that we think we could, without any harm coming to our children, hand them over to people in daycare centers and let them be raised by someone else? What has happened to the notion of a mother's role being unique? And what he went on to say, not just unique in relationship to a child care center, but a mother's role in unique in relationship to what a father can do. Now, this to me, from a Harvard man, is revolutionary. He was saying that he has really no regard for the neutral or the neuter term parenting, that he thinks that is very unwise to use that word, because what you have mothering, which is an entity unto itself, and fathering, which is an entity unto himself. And so I thought, well, here you have it. Here's someone who knows children, who knows psychiatry. I don't know how much he knows about the Bible. I do know he knows some about the Bible. But he came out very clearly on the side of women raising their own children and not handing them over to someone in a daycare center. And that women, and this is the part I really like, women treasuring the unique and particular role that they could play in the lives of their children as distinct from their father. And what he went on to say about the father was really wonderful, and I'll just mention it here. He said that a father by going out every day to work. Now, in our culture now, this idea of the father going away and spending 8 hours outside of the home, that can't be good. So there should be an equal sharing, right? There should be the father and the mother, and it really doesn't make any difference to the child as long as it's either the father or the mother. So the father could stay home and the mother could go out. Well, Robert Cole said that the example of the father going out in the morning and coming home at night, a long day of work, is an example to the child of commitment, of self-sacrifice, of hard work, of sticking with a job. It doesn't detract from the relationship that the father has with the child. It expands the relationship. It is something positive. It is something that a child can look back on and say, I saw my father do this. Robert Coles isn't saying, of course, that fathers shouldn't spend time with their children, but he said in a bold way that almost nobody is willing to say today, fathers going out to work and mothers staying home with the children is fine, and the children will benefit and learn from that example, and there's no need to juggle with it. There's no need to have time sharing on jobs so that the father can be home and the mother out. He's really saying these roles are particular. The mother has a role, the father has a role. Now, how many people that you know from Harvard would be willing to go out on a limb and say that?
From Harvard or anywhere else, but I'm sure that somebody out there is going to say, but Gail, what's the difference if you reverse those roles? What about the house husbands?
Well, my answer would come from the scripture, and I would say the fact is that it's pretty clear from the New Testament that mothers have a role that's different from fathers. Mothers are the ones to be keepers of the home, busy at home, raising the children. You see, when Paul gives this list of how people are supposed to live, he says this is what women are supposed to do, and then this is what men are supposed to do. That would be my answer. A person like Robert Coles would come at it from an entirely different perspective, I think. I don't think that the scripture would be the first resort in his answer, but he would say what I so often want to say, use your common sense. What has history taught us? What do women's bodies teach about the role of the mother with the child? You look at a woman's body, it's built to nurture. You look at a man's body, it's strong, it goes out, it does work. Are these just a joke? Is this just a charade? Does this have anything to do with the real nature of things? He would point us to history. He would point us to literature. He would point us to the tradition of the church, because he did that in his essay. And he would draw on these things to say, listen, don't lose your common sense.
Don't you feel sometimes the way I feel, that I am belaboring the obvious?
Yes. Oh,
I mean, I am having to say to people things which any peasant 1,000 years ago,
yes,
would have looked at you as if, well, you didn't know that?
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't know this?
Right.
But we have been so confused, mm-hmm, so sold a bill of goods, mm-hmm, and taken for a ride, that the sad truth is we do have to belabor,
mm-hmm,
the obvious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it takes a Harvard professor with a Harvard degree and Harvard intellect to say to us, use your common sense. Why do we have to have a Harvard man tell us that?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And the problem is that we don't believe anything. People in our culture generally don't want to believe anything unless there's a pile of statistics showing that it's true. And this has always just shocked me. And this is why I always talk to women who have just had babies, right after they've had the babies, because they don't need to see any statistics. They know instinctually that they should raise their children. So that the problem today is that because there are no absolutes and everything is just shifting out there, whoever can compile the most statistics and lay the most impressive sociological study on the table, that person wins the day.
Yes, if we've spent enough government money,
right,
deciding why frogs do this, or
right,
whether children from black families are less likely to choose Latin in high school, then, of course, people are willing to accept that kind of statistics. Parenthetically, I was just floored after James Dobson's interviews with, what was his name, the criminal who said that his problems had
Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm. From pornography. The rebuttal to that I heard on the television was, but we have no scientific,
yes,
evidence,
mm-hmm,
that pornography has any effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are obsessed,
mm-hmm,
with what constitutes scientific evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But to quote another authority, there was a Yale psychologist who said that what we are doing to our children today in putting them in daycare centers may be equivalent to psychological thalidomide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be some listeners who are too young to remember mm-hmm. what thalidomide was, but it was a drug that was given particularly in Germany to pregnant women. I've forgotten what it was for exactly, but it resulted in very serious physical deformities in the child. And so he was simply saying what we are doing is deforming our children psychologically by putting them in daycare centers. There was another man named Brazelton.
Yes,
I think
T. Barry Brazelton. Right. Now, he's a pediatrician, and he's also at Harvard, and he has written numerous books on children. He's given his whole life over to children. He's a wonderful man and not a Christian. I don't know that he's not a Christian, but he certainly doesn't come from the Christian world. But I watched him speak about the relationship between mothers and children on TV, and he said very firmly that that first year is very, very important, and that any woman who can stay home completely for the first year is giving her child a wonderful gift, and that really what is at stake is, as you sort of alluded to, the child's self-esteem is at stake here. Not the mother's self-esteem, the child's self-esteem is
what matters most.
Right, right.
Does the child feel good about himself?
Right, does the child feel that he's important enough to have his mother? And mm-hmm. it's hard for us to imagine that children think that way, but they're being formed at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And the specialists are all saying, look out for the first years and don't tamper with it.
Yes, I heard a young mother say, well, but my children are very capable and they do very well on their own. Well, of course, children are most adaptable, and these poor kids have to do very well mm-hmm. on their own mm-hmm. because they are on their own. Well, God help us all. Gail, I do appreciate so much your being with us, and we're looking forward to hearing more from Gail Summers. Remember that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.